Hello, everyone, and welcome to Creative Cosmos, a podcast where I chat with creatives about art, media, fandoms, and beyond. I'm Selena Banto, an illustrator and visual development enthusiast, and in this episode, I chatted with Jillian Galang, a visual development artist who has worked for animation and games, and is currently working on the adult animated short film The Lovers by Studio Heartbreak. Jillian and I have been mutuals on Twitter for a couple of years and met once in person at a convention, and I'm so happy that she said yes to being on this pod because I really admire her work and I think she's a nice person overall. If you want to learn more about how to make a visual development portfolio or how Jillian got involved with Studio Heartbreak, then this episode is for you. Disclaimer though that there are mouse clicks and other background noises in this one. I tried my best to remove them, but they are there. I'll try to avoid things like this in future episodes. But I still think our conversation was really fun and interesting, especially towards the end, where we talked about the indie animation scene a bit. So yeah, hope you enjoy!
Hello, everyone!
Okay, so Jillian, can you like tell us a bit about yourself, who you are, and what you're into, and what you do?
So my name is Jillian. I'm based in the Philippines. I'm a freelance visual development artist working for the animation and games industry. I actually do visual development and background paintings for a living, but like under freelance and not as a full-time job yet, but hopefully I will do that. That's what I do. And during my pastime, I also do background paintings for fun or just play games. That's what I do. I also talk to friends a lot, so it's very fun.
Yeah, I can see that you're kind of a gamer because of your headset.
Oh my god.
Like she has a pink headset with cat ears.
I'm very proud of this.
So what got you interested in VizDev art or background art?
Ooh, that's actually an interesting story because way back in college, I was taking advertising arts as my college course. And I was just exploring the art books there. And I'm like, ooh, I didn't know character designing or background designing in general can be a job. And I started like further researching about them, learning about them, and I'm like, I want to take this. Like, I really want this to be like my career or just something for fun. And I owe my English professor for that because she tasked us to research about what we want to do in art, and I'm like, oh, I thought I wanted to do graphic art, but then when I found the art of books and other VizDev books that support that, I'm like, okay, I want to do this. And then our course had like a production thesis category, and I saw the best thesis outputs there, and I'm like, I want to do this for a living. So yeah, eventually I have a friend who also encouraged me to attend Icon Manila, which is a local entertainment conference here in Manila, and it's hosted by Armin Serrano and his family. Armin Serrano is actually a big VizDev artist, and he invites other artists to join him, so they do demos, talks, and other stuff. So I learned a lot about VizDev, and I'm like, oh my god, thank you for giving us a lot of things to know about this, because I seriously didn't know that it can be a thing. So yeah, that's how I decided that I want to pursue VizDev. And there was also like a part of me when I was in college that whenever I don't do my plates, oh my god, I'm procrastinating. Like, I don't want to do my plate right now. I just want to do my personal stuff. So I tried working on some personal animations that never get to see the light of day because I just want to see, oh, I can design my own character and my own background in the sketchbook. I'm having so much fun. I really, really enjoyed doing that. So yeah, till now, I still enjoyed it, which is really fun.
I've been to Icon Manila also. I started attending. How many times have you attended? Like which years?
I actually started attending since 2016. So till now.
I started attending in
2017.
What? Armin Serrano. Have you met him? Oh, I saw in your profile that you had a VizDev internship with Armin Serrano. How was that like?
Actually, I met him before that. Like, if it's okay if I tell the story how I met him. So I was actually an officer at my org, and I was joking to my friend, "Hey, we should invite him to talk at our org, you know? Like, we should plan it where he's going to the Philippines for Icon Manila so he can visit here." It was just a joke until like we're making the papers and stuff and organizing everything already, because my friend has contact with him like through email. So it was like, well, we didn't expect it to happen. Like, he had a talk at our college, so it was really fun that a lot of people got to know about him and the visual development world. And he was actually an alumni in USD, so we're like, yay, oh my god, it was a joke, but we made it happen. It's so fun. And yeah, after that, we actually known each other in person. Like, we're like one of his family friends now, which is like, yeah. Yeah, it's so wow. I can't help but fangirl. But yeah, I took his visual development mentorship, which I took it last year, and I learned a ton about VisDev. Like, wow, this is so cool. Like, VisDev is all about putting intentions in your designs and everything, designing everything, thinking about everything, problem solving and stuff. The mentorship was challenging, but I really grown a lot from that, and I'm very thankful that I enrolled in that course. So yeah.
That's so cool. It's an online course.
Yeah, it's an online course, so I also have like other classmates there, and to be able to see their work, I'm like, okay, I want to do my best too, because they're inspiring me. It's such a fun class to be with, and it's an honor to be there.
We kind of jumped in like straight into VisDev and all that, but I guess for people who are not familiar with VisDev, how would you describe it?
I actually describe it as, oh, we design how the character would look like, or like how the backgrounds would look like, or how the prop would look like. But it's not just drawing, it's about designing them in a way that they would know already what they are. Like, for example, we designed a living room, but it's not just a living room if we add like certain elements for a culture. Like, for example, a Filipino living room would have an altar or a cross nearby, and there would be like throw pillows, and the throw pillows that you can only see when there's a visitor, and some colorful curtains. So yeah, it's about putting intention in every design. Because I think the misconception about visual development is that you draw and that's it, but it's not. You have to think about what you need to put there. And it's there, I mean, the certain elements aren't there just for aesthetic, but they're telling the story. So yeah, that's how I describe VisDev to people who don't really know. And some other people are like, oh, I didn't know that exists. Cool.
I really like your style is like very unique from like what we know traditionally as visual development or VisDev. Usually in like mainstream media, VisDev, you will see like very like rendered backgrounds and it seems very like realistic-ish. But then yours, it kind of reminds me of like Spider-Verse and things like that, like stylized universes. If you guys check out her profile, Jillian Galang or Jillian 3G, you'll see like it's very, how would you describe it? Like graphic?
Yeah, I think I could describe it as something like graphic and a bit of a splash of lots of colors, because I started coloring my works when I was like around 3rd year in college. During my first year, I would only just draw with a pen, and I would really hate colors. Like, oh my god, why is coloring so hard? But then college helped me appreciate it more. Until 3rd year, made me like, okay, I love colors now, let's do this. And actually, the one that influenced me to push the graphic art was also Armand Serrano, because I bought his art book back in 2016, and he taught how to use the lasso tool, and I'm like, wow, I want to do that. Then when I did it, I was like, oh, I love this graphic style. okay, I'll go with this. And the rest was history. Like, I started to, like, do studies, and I would do it in that kind of style. But I'm also thankful for Angela's song's artwork, because I also got inspired by the way she uses color. Like, wow, that's such an intense way of using color theory. Like, I want to do that too. So, yeah, there are my inspirations. And I think Mark Kubuchi also inspired me to do it. Like, the way he does plein air in his YouTube vlogs. I'm like, I want to do plein air too. Oh my god, let me do it outside. Then the first plein air I ever did was raining. It was raining, so I have to bite the umbrella and paint. It was so fun. Like, oh my god, I painted something from the rain. This is fun.
Oh, cool. I find plein airs, wait, for anyone who doesn't know what plein airs are, it's kind of like this plein air, or plein April is this challenge that happens every April where you draw a background study every day or as often as you can, or every other day. What do you think about, like, adding plein airs or background studies to your portfolio? Because it's like, it's not your original design in a way, because you were like basing it off an existing photo. So what do you think about, like, adding plein airs to your portfolio?
I think it would be all right as long as it doesn't look like it's taken by a photo, because we don't aim to be photographers or like photocopiers. So what I do, I usually just I design the color, or I design the shapes, because VisDev is also like, how would you design the shape language or the color language? So it really helps a lot, like, if you don't draw it just as is, but you add your flair to it. Like, you, what do you want to add? What do you want to add there to make it look like different from the actual photo? But if you're having like a hard time doing it, I think you can try just doing it like that for now, and try exaggerating it after. So that would be two paintings. Like, first is just a really good study, and the second would be like, okay, I will intentionally change this thing just because I want it to look like something else that would make the painting look fitting, or it would look pleasing. Because a lot of times when I do plein air, I would decide like, okay, I don't like this specific element to be a part of the painting, so I'm removing that. And I would change specific elements, like, for example, some signages. And I don't want to copy them specifically, so I would just change it just because I wanted to, or I wanted to tell a story to it. And I would change the mood or the lighting so I could tell a story. So I think it's also okay to put them on the portfolios, because that helped me get a job, actually. So, yeah.
Like, speaking of portfolios, what you mentioned about plein air brill, that's really, I guess, kind of comforting, I guess, for me personally, because I'm kind of struggling with, like, building a portfolio, like, and doing backgrounds. I feel like, yeah, like, doing plein airs is, like, a good exercise also, and a good addition to your portfolio. But, like, speaking of portfolios, how do you make a VisDev portfolio if you've never worked at a studio, or if you've never had any experience?
Ooh, actually, it's either you make your own story, or you pick an existing story that doesn't have, like, an existing design by other people. So if you're going to make your own story, it should be something that's familiar to you. Like, a specific memory can be helpful, or something that you really know. Because if you start designing something that you're really not aware of, or something that you really don't know, I think you're going to have a hard time researching. I mean, it's okay to research, but I think you won't have fun working on that portfolio, because it's something that you're not familiar with. So the reason why I'm suggesting that you should work on something you know for now is to get yourself used to designing. So when I was designing my own VisDev portfolio back then, I was reading Nick Hawkins' books, and then I was like, I want to design his one story, which is Doña Jeronima. I really, really loved that story so much. And it made me remember a lot of about the Catholic culture and stuff because my mother's side is Catholic and I have like a lot of Catholic influences, so I use that to design the portfolio. And I kind of struggled a bit in character, but that's fine because not everything in the portfolio making process would be fun. It's going to be stressful. There was a time I had to cry for like overnight because I was really struggling to make this character and I'm like, I can't do this. I'm gonna cry. And it really does happen. So I think that it's okay if you're going to cry in the first time you're going to make a portfolio, a visual development portfolio, because it's something that you're not used to. But in the end, if you finish it, it's going to be fulfilling. Like, whoa, I can do this? This is amazing. So yeah, I think design from something you really know, and it's going to be so worth it for you. I swear, like, please do that.
Yes, sticking to what you want, or I mean, like, what you're interested in, because I think that I guess contributes to more to the process. You'll find more enjoyment in it. And then also, one tip that I've heard is to like take an existing story that hasn't been translated visually. So like what you said, a Nick Joaquin story, I've never seen like a movie about that story. It's pretty cool. So there's this opportunity to like put your own spin on it.
Yeah, actually, if you have like any stories from your childhood that are not like from the books, something that you heard from your parents, I think that's okay to turn into like your own business portfolio. I think it's going to be fun because it's like it's from your ears, so you're translating it to your audience. Like, this is what I heard when I was a kid, and I want you guys to see it. And that is so cool because you're showing everybody something that hasn't been seen before. So yeah, I think it's I think it will be fun if you're going to do a story that's overly used, but if it's your first time, it's okay because like you're going to practice yourself. Designing isn't really easy in the beginning because there will be like a lot of processes behind it. Like, you're going to design a lot and there will be like, okay, this design isn't working. That is okay. Take a break, sleep or play games, and go get back to it tomorrow and you'll be okay. So yeah. So yes. Just take it one step at a time. You'll get used to it. Like, designing isn't really easy. Like, I remember that night I cried, like, this stuff isn't for me. Like, I really cried so bad. And my aunt was like, are you okay? Okay, I'll bring your dinner here. And I just like stare at the wall. It was so bad. But it's okay. Like, you'll be all right.
The artist's journey, it has its ups and downs. But yeah, the ups are like really, really rewarding and fulfilling.
And yeah.
Speaking of, I think like one reason like a lot of people have tuned in right now is because you are working on this short film with Studio Heartbreak called The Lovers. And yay! If anyone doesn't know what The Lovers is about or what Studio Heartbreak is, can you tell us a bit, like a synopsis of the story?
Oh my god, I stopped for a moment. Like, how much can I tell? Okay, so this short film titled The Lovers, I will be very careful about telling things. Okay, so the short film is about a mermaid and a chef, and it's kind of violent. But it's really like the movie set in Binondo, Manila. And I don't know if I can recommend it to minors. But yeah, it's a woman love woman short film.
It is an adult animated film. Yeah. And someone who is not part of the production. Yes, yeah. It's basically like what they have like posted about online, about a sushi chef and a mermaid and like them meeting, and then like this, the chef gets bitten. But so this is just from what I've seen online. Like the chef gets bitten and then like stuff happens. But yeah, it's an adult animated film. So yes, no minors allowed.
please look forward to it and check our Instagram, Studio Heartbreak. So yeah.
So how did you like get involved with them?
Ooh, actually, I've been familiar with their project since day one, and I'm like, wow, this is cool. Wait, she's a sirena? So sirena is a Filipino word for mermaid. I was like, okay, I know where this is setting. In my homeland. Wow. And I was like seeing all of their posts ever since. I also saw your guest art, Celine. It was so cool. Like, wow. Oh my god, Celine's art. It's amazing. And I was like, okay, I think, I don't know. I just manifested, like, are they gonna invite me for guest art? If they do, I hope they invited me at the time where I'm not feeling bad about my art. So apparently they invited me specifically by Sofia Paez. And I was like, when I received that message, I was like, oh my god, it's happening. I will do my best. Oh my god, I will do my best here, okay. And basically, I was not really in a good place in my artwork that time. And I'm like, okay, I'll just turn this into like a mini passion project for now. Just so I could be happy because I was having a burnout at that time. And I decided to just turn it into a mini biz dev project. So I designed, I asked, what do you want me to draw? And she was like, Paifa said that, can you draw a street in Binondo? And I'm like, sure. And I was like, I haven't done that before. Okay, I will just do my best. But since I live hours away from Binondo, Manila, and I can't really check out the place, I actually look at YouTube for like a Binondo walk tour just to see how the place looks like, just to design something. And I designed the buildings individually and put it in my guest art piece. And like, besides that, I designed some signages and posters that can be used in the guest art piece. And like, okay, this is it. It's a mini vista thingy. I'm so happy that I can make this. Like my burnout went away, like poof, something like that when I finished that. And They were really happy with the guest art piece that I made, that they invited me to be a part of the team. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Before that, my friend told me that they might get you, you know, Julian. And I'm like, no, they won't get me. I was really in denial because, like, why would they get me? They're so cool. And yeah, when they got me, it was really something that, wow, okay, this is it. I'm a part of a team with such amazing artists that I can learn from. So yeah, that's how I got into their studio and now in their project. So I'm just get stuck fangirling when they were like, we want you to be a part of our team. Like, what? I can't stop screaming that day. Like, oh my god, I'm gonna draw some fish.
The fish. Yeah, about guest art, like for anyone who isn't familiar, in the early days of their Instagram account, Studio Heartbreak would invite different artists to draw a piece inspired by their film. Yeah, that was like a really cool marketing tactic, I feel, because the Instagram has this option where you can...
the collaborative
post. Yeah, like make a collaborative post. So Studio Heartbreak's audience and the artist's audience can see it at the same time. So then like more people will get to know about the film. It's just, I find that was like really smart of the marketing team to do. Yeah, and then, yeah, as Jillian said, like they invited her. I also got invited by Sofia Paez, Paifos.
Check out Jillian's art. Yeah, that's so cool.
When I saw her message, I fangirled also. I was like, oh my gosh. So I noticed that Studio Heartbreak recently posted some of your VizDev work online, and since the story mainly takes place in a sushi restaurant, I saw that you designed a bidet that looks like a fish bidet. So from what has been posted online, what was your process like in designing the environment and props for the film?
Actually, I would just ask what they would want me to do, and when they given me the task, I would like do some funny sketches first, because when they said the specific words that I can tell. Sadly. Like for example, they wanted me to design some posters. Okay. I'm all right to say this because they posted it on Instagram. So they wanted me to design a poster about something, and I would like I have actually two processes to start. So either of that, like if I have an idea already without researching, I would just sketch it first and then do some research and see if that idea still works. But if I don't have any idea at all, I would do a bit of research, then do some sketches. So it's either, and then I would show it to them, ask for feedback, and paint it even more so that they could use it. That's actually the process ever since, unless they have like a lot of revisions. I'm actually all right for the revisions with them because like, oh, okay, I'm learning how to draw it in this kind of way. I'm having so much fun. Like, I'm learning a lot from revisions, which is a fun experience for me. So yeah, that's how I do it. And sometimes my designs won't read well. So I have to like either redraw them or paint them over, just to make it easier than just revising it on the same file.
So when is the film coming out? I know they posted like a teaser that said May 9. What is that?
I am not sure if I can talk about it.
Okay, no problem, no problem. Yeah,
but please look forward to May 9.
Something's gonna happen on May 9.
Yeah, something's gonna happen on May 9. Please look forward to it. Actually, I can recommend you guys check the Instagram so that you can be sure what to see at May 9 or when the film's release.
Well, I guess we can move on to audience questions.
Okay, okay.
So I posted about this, that I was going to have a talk with you on my Instagram and my Twitter, Celine Abanto, S-E-L-I-N-E Abanto. So follow me, guys.
Follow her, guys. She's amazing.
Follow me so you'll be notified like whenever I post about like a new speaker or like a new guest that I'm going to be talking to. And then you can like submit questions for them. One person asks, what piece or pieces do you recommend for a VizDev portfolio? What do recruiters usually look for?
Ooh, they actually look for if you can design, actually. Or actually, it depends, because a lot of art jobs that I noticed, they would hire you for the style that you can do or the art that you can do. So I actually have like a past freelance work that hired me because I can do the style that they wanted, and another freelance work that hired me because I can design things that they wanted. So you have to be like not to be specific, but you have to be like be able to draw things a lot, because being a visual development artist, it requires you to draw a lot of things that aren't even in your comfort zone. So you have to be like comfortable, or you have to figure it out in a way that you'll draw it in a comfortable way. So there are like other tricks to do that. So it's either you break them down into shapes, or you like observe them and just draw them in different styles. So yeah, I think that's what they look for so far from my perspective and from my own experience. So yeah.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Yes, that's helpful. Very helpful. Another person asked, hello, I like drawing characters, but I'm looking to expand my skills in drawing and painting environment as well. I checked your art station and your environment work is phenomenal. Wondering if you could talk through the conceptualization of some of your works, like how do you come up with your ideas and how do you tell a story with them? Yeah, two people asked like about your process. So yeah.
Ooh, actually, if we're going to design an environment, like I mentioned before, if you're not really, if you're not familiar with the design process or how designing works, you can start from designing from your own experience. So how to do that? If you're like, for example, wanted to tell a story about a girl and a bakery shop, but that bakery is kind of closing down and you want to give that girl some hope. So what culture is she living? What time period is she living? Which place does she live? And like, if you ask these questions, you could like limit what you're going to do. So for example, this girl with the rundown bakery that's going to close, I think she's, maybe she's Filipino because I'm Filipino. Okay, so she's a Filipino girl. She lost her parents, which is sad. And she lives in some place in the Philippines. And the time period would be around early 2000s. So if that would be like your prompt, you're going to search like what does the time period 2000s look like? So if photo reference aren't enough for you, I suggest watching videos about it, because I think watching videos are really helpful when it comes to researching and reading articles about it. Like, how do people live in that time period? Also, adding limitations, like you shouldn't research about other specific things. Like, for example, since we're designing a Filipino culture, we shouldn't research about Japanese culture and add it in there. Unless she likes anime, we can add a bit, just to show that, oh, she likes anime, but not that overwhelming to the point that her Filipino culture is not there anymore. And since it's in the 2000s, there are no touchscreen phones existing in there, just that very big box TV and stuff. And I think there are no such thing as like smart microwaves and smart ovens at that time. So she might be using some like traditional ovens or microwaves just to keep her bakery alive. So yeah, and other things to ask to design your own background is like, okay, so what story do you want to tell? If you're going to like make it into a keyframe illustration, like something like it's taken from a screenshot, you want to tell a bit more of a story. So if you're going to place the character there, what will she be doing there? Is she going to bake or just watch her own TV while she waits for her baked goods to bake? So yeah, my process is kind of a bit chaotic, because when you finally written down your ideas for it and what you wanted to accomplish for your background, you have to like start researching for references. It's okay if you over-reference at the first place, because you're going to have like this the next part where you're going to like delete some of the references, so you won't get overwhelmed. And then you're going to start developing her world, like, okay, what colors you should be using, what shapes are you going to use to draw her on, and other stuff like that. And yeah, so actually, if you want to further visualize your background, you can actually like design the props individually and other furniture individually. And when you do that, it's going to look like a call out. So a call out is like a whole prop or a whole element of the background, but it's just one object that you can just place whenever you want or just use it. Like, I have a hard time explaining, but like you're going to turn it into like a prop sheet or something that could help the 3D artist in the future if you want. So yeah, you should, at that stage, you're going to make your prop be readable. And yeah, so but if you just want to stay in the environment artwork itself or the background artwork itself, that's fine if you don't want to do the props. But if you're wanting to aim the visitor portfolio, I suggest you do those call outs and prop stuff, because it's super helpful. And if you are actually having a hard time designing, I suggest studying how to design props, because props are fun. So yeah, oh my god, I hope that process wasn't chaotic. I said a lot of stuff.
It's very, very detailed and very insightful. I didn't think of like designing the props first, and then like your process on how you explain the things like the oven and what gadgets are present like in certain time periods. You really have to think of all the little details, especially if you're like basing it on a specific time period in history.
Yeah.
Okay, so another person asked, have you ever thought of releasing an art book?
Ooh. Oh my god! Actually, I've been like dreaming about that years ago. I think hopefully I will soon. I just can't say it right now, but hopefully I will soon. But I did release like mini art books back in Comiket, past Comiket, and it's just about my visual development homework from Armin Serrano's VisDev mentorship class. And I'm really proud of that. It got sold out, which was, I was really surprised because like, wow, I didn't expect people to buy this art book. It's really fun. Like, wow. Yeah, hopefully if I ever release it, I hope you guys look forward to it. I'm going to add tons of love in there. So yeah.
The art of Jillian Galan.
Oh my god!
I guess one last question, or second to the last. How do you deal with burnout as an artist? I struggle with this personally as like an illustrator. Like there are times when I'm so inspired and I want to draw all the time, and then there are other times where like I want to draw but my brain isn't cooperating and I feel tired and not inspired, or I'm just not feeling it. Like, how do you personally deal with that burnout?
Oh my god. Actually, I felt that a lot last year because I was working a lot of VisDev jobs. And after doing those VisDev jobs, like, at the end of the day, I want to draw for myself. But I find myself being so tired, like, okay, I just won't draw for now. But, like, when I force myself to draw during a burnout, I'm not really happy about it. Like, I've just ended up being depressed more. So like what I do is actually I just don't draw. Like, okay, I'm not gonna draw, but at the same time I also draw, but not really something serious, just to keep my momentum and my consistency of drawing every day. I really don't draw that much every day right now, but since it's plain April, I'm also experiencing burnout, and I'm like, ah, it's so hard. I want to finish 30 days. And they're like, oh my god, it's like day 7, and I'm already feeling the burnout, which is kind of sad. But I'm like, okay, so what I will do is, after I finish this art, like, if it's serious or not, I will not think about it first. Like, I'll do something else. I will go to my games right now. Kind of like that. Or actually, I took a vacation this year because I was really feeling that slump. Like, I don't want to draw anymore. Kind of like that. And after that vacation, I was like, ooh, I think I want to draw now. But am I sure if I really want to draw? Because there are times that I get that feeling. Am I really going to draw? Because I wanted to draw, but I'm not sure if I will draw. So I think I'm going to, like, I don't know if this is the right time to thirst myself of drawing. So I'm like, okay, I will just draw if I really, really, really wanted to, so that I could really enjoy drawing. So I think that's what happens to me a lot when I'm like, okay, I'm not feeling it. So, like, I'll just draw a circle for now and I'm good. But then, like, okay, I want to draw now. I really want to draw, and I'll be really happy about it. So, yeah, rest is important. Like, it's super important. Like, you should get your 8 hours a day of sleep. It really helps. And drink lots of water. And, yeah, and soon enough, I think the burnout will lessen when you're healthy even more. So, I actually started taking dance classes, which, like, okay, well, I'm enjoying, like, I think doing other things besides art would really help you deal with the burnout.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That last part, like, doing things that are, like, are not art related. Like, for you, it's games. And then most recently, dance.
Yeah.
Like, to, like, exercise, like, other parts of, like, I guess your creativity or just what you enjoy.
I actually remembered that the reason why you have to do other things besides art is because life inspires art. So we have to keep living in order to create more. So yeah.
Yes. I forgot to forgot to mention a while ago, we were talking about art books, about how lately you wanted to make your own art book. And then it kind of reminded me of a Studio Heartbreak. Like, what if, like,
Oh.
after the film is done, you guys could make an art book and all and
My
sell it, right? Maybe like
Yeah,
suggest
oh my god.
that
Oh my god, sure, I would suggest that to them. Like, hey guys, let's make an art book.
like the concept art that went into the film. Oh man, last question. Like,
Okay.
so the indie animation scene has been going off recently, and like it started with Has Been Hotel and Hell of a Boss, and then have you watched Lackadaisy? I watched it
I was
like,
like smiling the whole time.
and then now your film, which has like quite a large following. So what's your thoughts on like the indie animation scene now, and like how we're like getting all these cool projects happening, and then also with like with what's happening in mainstream animation now with like cancellations. Meanwhile, there are like certain, not every indie animation studio, but like certain indie animation studios that have been like proving themselves like we can do this.
I actually have a lot of hope, and I think indie animation is going to take over because it's just amazing that, people can do these projects all together. Like, well, okay, this is what I really want to do. Like, so be a part of it is something a huge honor for me because as someone living in the Philippines, it's really hard to get like animation jobs. Because a lot of stuff are happening in the other side of the world. So I think if you want your story to be heard, it's best if you do it on your own. I mean, it's amazing if you do it in a big studio, but I think your voice will be louder if you do it on your own or with your friends. So yeah, it's just amazing to see indie animation rise. Like, oh my God, I'm like crying, like saluting the people and the artists who did that, because like, wow, guys, we're stepping on big animation companies. Yeah. But not in a bad way, but it's just amazing to see that there are a lot of talented people out there who are willing to do these kinds of projects just because they wanted to and they're having fun. Actually, I'm very thankful for Studio Heartbreak for taking me in because I'm having so much fun and they are so kind. I swear, like they are the best team. Like they're like one of the dream teams that I never expected to be a part of. They're just inspiring and amazing, and I learned a ton of things from them. So yeah, indie animation is the future. So yeah.
That's a really cool note to end on. But before we go, I want to introduce like a new segment. But this new segment that I'm calling is like In Your Orbit, because like this is Creative Cosmos. It's like a space themed podcast. Like, what is currently in your orbit? Like, what are your favorite things at the moment that are not related to your work? Like things that like make you happy.
Right now, I'm actually into K-pop. So that actually pushed me to take some dance classes, which is something that I've always wanted to do. So as much as they are mainstream right now, I love NewJeans so much. And I just really like how they dance. And I'm like, okay, I want to dance too. And I have a friend who takes dance classes, so I went with her this week. And it was just so fun, like I didn't expect to dance for 3 hours straight. I thought I was gonna faint or something. And for other stuff, I'm actually looking forward to Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Like, I'm so excited, but I'm so sad that I didn't make it to the pre-order of the collector's edition. So I'm like, how will I admire it more? Joke. I will still have fun with the game, but I'm like, I just really want the collector's edition. So I'm also playing Valorant a lot. So I don't know why, but I think Valorant is kind of like a part of my personality now, where I just say randomly to my friends, like, hey, I want to knife you, but not in a bad way, okay? But something like in a fun way, because in Valorant there is this part where we just knife enemies and it just feels fulfilling because that's a hard thing to do. It's very fun. And I also play Genshin Impact, and I just got Nahida. So yeah, please. Oh my god, I'm uninstalling Genshin again because I just got her. No joke, I'll still play her. So yeah, and other things would be like recent I just got my iPad around December and I'm still learning Procreate. So actually the challenge of my playing April this year is learning how to use Procreate. So like I'm still not used to it, but I'm having tons of fun using it.
Nice. So finally, before we go, do you have anything that you want to plug, like socials? Where can people follow you, or like any events that you're going to be attending?
At the moment, I don't have any attempts to event too because I'm on a convention hiatus, but I'll let you guys know in my social media. So it's Jillian, 3D, Gilliann, 3G, or the 3 can be a number or a word. At Twitter, the 3 is actually a word, and at Instagram, it's a number. So you can follow me there. My portfolio, my art station isn't actually updated, but I'm going to make a new portfolio, so I hope you look forward to it. So, yeah.
Yay, cool.
Yay!
Thank you so much, Jillian, for jumping on this podcast.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here, I swear.
That concludes this episode of Creative Cosmos. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Creative Cosmos. This podcast will be taking a short break from uploads as I'll be busy in the next couple of months, but I hope to be back soon. Bye!